Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your keeping power, Lord. Thank you that we're your prized possessions, Lord. That we belong to you. That we were bought at a great price. The very blood of Jesus. That we're special people, O God. That we're dear to your heart, Lord. You call us sons and daughters. Thank you for the privilege, Father. Thank you for every story that's in this room, Lord. Every act of rescue and saving, Lord God. Every act of grace that you've poured out upon us. We are so grateful, O God. And we give you all praise and honor, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for coming. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being amongst us today to make our Father, to make the Son known to us this day. Touch our hearts. Build us up with your word, Lord. Encourage us, Lord God. As we've been encouraged, Lord, encourage us, O God. Strengthen us, O God. Speak to our hearts, Lord. I say to every ear, be open. In the name of Jesus, to hear what the Spirit of God would say to you this day for his glory. Amen. Amen. You know, last year the Lord gave me 3 sermons to preach. And near the beginning of last year, and this is a new year and I haven't preached them. And I felt at the time when the Lord gave me them, I felt this was the faith that was in my heart, that you could change the world with these 3 sermons. You could change the church with these 3 sermons. And like when you receive something like that, you're like, man, that's huge. And then throughout the year, I didn't feel that. But a couple of weeks ago, the Lord just reminded me, do you remember what I spoke to you all? Do you remember what I told you to preach? And that faith has been building. And after preaching it in the other 2 locations, I can understand, after preaching it, why this could be the absolutely 3 of the most revolutionary sermons that we could ever, ever hear. Is that building up? Oh, my goodness, you know what I mean? If it's not God, it's just good teaching. It's good theology. It's wherever. But if there is God, if God is in it, if there is anointed, I've been changed by preaching this. And I just pray that God will touch your heart in the same manner. I don't really entitle sermons, but I wanted to entitle these 3 called like one day sermons. Like one day, we all have a one day. We have a whole housing estate being built in Africa and a whole movement happening there. You know, did you read out last week about 50 people were at our Bible study in Lesotho last week? And you know, the house was too small to have it, so now they have it out in the courtyard of the house. And that whole thing is called one day. And we all have a one day, don't we? One day I'll do this, one day I'll go there, one day I will start driving, one day I'll start doing a course, one day I will step out in faith. We all have one dates, but I want to remind us that God has one days in his heart. He has one day for certain things to happen. He had one day for certain things to happen, and he has one day for things to happen. There's many of you reading the scriptures, the one days of God, but I want to remind us of 3 over the next 3 times you will hear me preach. I want to remind us that one day in Genesis, he said to the devil that I'm going to crush your head with the seed of woman. He said one day there's going to be, through the prophet Isaiah, one day a virgin will give birth to a son, my only begotten son. One day that son will be called Emmanuel, God with us. One day all people will have access to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One day that Jesus, we will worship with every tribe and tongue and nation. Hello. One day that Jesus will come back for his bride. One day that Jesus will deal with this world and its evil practices. One day Jesus will judge the living and the dead. One day Satan and demons will be put into the abyss to be heard of no more. One day he'll wipe away every tear, every sickness and disease. One day the Bible says that we're going to sit at the banquet of the bride and the bridegroom's wedding. Amen. One day we actually will, he'll believe in Jesus. One day we will live happily ever after. Amen. This ain't no fairy tale. One day he comes back, the prince comes back. on a white horse to take his bride to church. And having said all that, that these sermons have been quite sobering, serious, and exciting all at the same time. The one day that I want to speak about for the next 20 minutes is the coming back of Jesus Christ for his church, which is known as the rapture of the church. The Bible teaches that the rapture of the church is for the saints, is for the people of God, the sons and daughters of God. The second coming of Jesus is different than what I'm going to talk about. There's like two moments in the times to come. One is the second coming of Jesus. If you read any books, if the people on the God Channel, if you're watching it, they will tell you all the signs that is pointing towards the end times. We know the times is near, but we don't know the dates. You'll see people on the God Channel telling you all about this, that, and this, and that's their business. But I get upset when they then say, "Will you want to buy my books?" I think if we really know that the coming of Jesus is so imminent, if we really believe it, they should be saying we need to reach people with the gospel. If we really believe it, if we really, them men that really preaching, that they would say he's coming back, not buy my book. Why don't we ask God for his heart? But that's a moment to come, the second coming of Jesus. The moment I'm talking about is when Jesus comes back for his bride. Is when Jesus, in the blink of an eye, will come back for his bride. Now listen, according to my reading of scriptures, there is no warning sign for when Jesus comes back for his church. He's like a thief in the night. It's like in the blink of an eye, before we leave this place, he could come back. That sky could open and Jesus could come back for his bride. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. He comes back to rescue the church. The second coming is when this world, with its rejection of God and everything that God stands for, will be judged. That and its wicked system. Those who haven't recognized God, those who have rejected God, that's for the second coming. Listen to these scriptures. They'll come up on the screen, hopefully. Because I can just do that. I can just do that and it'll come up. Power, innit? See? Listen, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonians. They were told that Jesus, in Acts, remember Jesus says, when he was ascending to heaven, he says to them, hey, the angel says, listen, the way he went is the way he's going to come back. He went up in the sky and he's going to come back. And the people in Thessalonians, the saints, the Christians, the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones, those who have trusted in Jesus, believe in his death and resurrection, those who have given their hearts to him. Some of them were dying and they were a bit like, well, what's going to happen now that some have died? What about Jesus coming back? And Paul is telling them these truths. He says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. That's a different translation up there. Sorry. Second scripture. Listen, I tell you, Paul again, I tell you a divine mystery. When Paul's talking about mystery here, he's not talking about something that is going to remain hidden. He's saying, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to reveal to you something that has been hidden. I'm going to make it known to you. He says, not all of us will die, but we will be transformed. We will all be transformed. It will happen in an instant. in the twinkling of an eye. For when the last trumpet is sounded, the dead will come back to life, and we will be indestructible, and we will be transformed, for we will discard our mortal body, our clothes, and slip into a body that is imperishable. What is mortal now will be exchanged for immortality. And when that which is mortal puts on immortality, and what now decays is exchanged for what will never decay, then the scripture will be fulfilled that says, death is swallowed up by a triumphant victory. So death, tell me, where is your victory? Tell me, death, where is your sting? So Paul is telling the church about the mystery of the moment, twinkling of an eye, where there's a shout of the Lord, there's a command of the archangel, there's a trumpet blast, and those who believe in Jesus Christ will be taken up to meet him in the air. Hello. That's the bride of Christ. That does the word is called harparzo, which means, the Greek word harparzo means to be snatched away. It's as quick as that in the blink of an eye, Patrice is gone to meet Jesus in the air. In a sense, this, that the dead in Christ, this is what Paul was addressing, that those who have died in Christ, when that trumpet comes, when that call comes, when that command comes, when that shout comes, that all of those who are dead will rise to meet Christ in the air. It's not like something out of a movie to you. Do you know what? It's incredible. I live up in Ballyferma, which Palmerstown Cemetery is near. I want to tell you something. I can imagine this day when the trumpet is blast and the call is given and the command is shouted, and that those who have died in Christ Jesus, those who are believers, they start to just come up out of the ground to meet him in the air. I'm like, that's incredible. That's just incredible. We will know because we live near the place. But if this will all happen simultaneously, instantly, all together, that all of those who have died in Christ Jesus all over the world will be shooting up out of the ground. Can you imagine those who have been their ashes have been scattered around the Wicklow Mountains? They're all comes back together and it meets the person. Person is meeting God, Jesus in the air. And those who are left, which I want to be one of those who are left, I have to be honest. I don't have the choice, but like Lord, can hear me prayer. That they go, wow, as soon as I see them going, here's the way I'm going to be. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be hiding somewhere. I'm just like getting ready. I've been doing squats in the gym. It's called rapture squats. Is that squat? Yeah. I'm getting ready. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm ready to meet him. I'm ready to, when they go, I'm going. I'm getting just like, come on. I'm just ready to get out of here, out of this world. Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine it? Some people say, do you believe that is a literal thing in the Bible? Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I believe in a literal virgin birth. Like I believe in a literal Jesus that walked this earth. I believe in a literal Jesus that's going to come back with the trumpet call. Seems to be way away from me notes here. Get back there, Noli. He snatches us. He rescues us. There's all these words that is used in scriptures. He snatches us and rescues us from what? See, there's a second moment called the tribulation. And I don't know about you, and this is why I'm saying this stuff is sobering. And this stuff should make us bulletproof in some way. It should shake us out of apathy. It should shake us out of stuff that has held us back. The second moment that's going to happen, we go to be with Jesus forever. But Revelation tells us that the world that's rejected him experiences unparalleled tribulation. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be one of those who go, yeah, I believe with Jesus with my lips, but my heart is far away from him. I don't want one of those who just comes to church on a Sunday and tick the boxes. They're the ones that get left behind, those who play Jesus, play Christianity. And there's a tribulation. You read it. I've been with people that they say, Noel, I'm like living in hell on earth. We don't know what hell on earth is yet. Because if you read Revelations, You see what's to come. Seven trumpets, seven bowls. Another seven I can't think of. Three sevens of wrath being poured out on this world. People be running to the mountains, to the caves. This is what it says, to hide away from what's to come. He snatches us away from that because that's not what the church is going to experience. There's a whole thinking in theology when you meet different people from different streams of Christianity. Some believe that that's called tribulation, meaning that the church will be taken out before all that happens. That's what I believe. That's what I believe in the scriptures because he shows it throughout scripture. When Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were taken out before the wrath of God came. Even though he was backsliding. There's the grace of God. Who did I say? Lot, Noah. Before the flood came, the judgment of God came, Noah, the righteous, was put into the boat by God. The door was closed by God before the flood came. All throughout scriptures, you can see that God does this stuff for the church. Why? Because we're his. We belong to him. He takes the church out. Are you ready? Are we ready to meet him? Are we going to be ready to go when we see them going like this? Or are we going to be like, oh my goodness, I thought I had more time. I thought I could deal with that sin. I thought I could put that away. And I'm going to be embarrassed because I live for myself. Or I've lived for him. Am I going to be this or am I going to be this? I watched a movie in preparation a couple of weeks ago called Left Behind. It leaves a lot to be desired, but it has the right theology in it. At the end, they're happy that they were saved in the movie. You see, the father and the daughter. And the daughter, they say to the father says to the daughter something like, well, I'm glad that's all over. And she goes, not even begun. His wife was a Christian. His little son was a Christian. He was an airline pilot. The daughter was angry against God, rejected God. The rapture comes. The trumpet blasts. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I don't even know whether the non-believers even grasp what's happening because it's so nanosecond-minded that it's just boom, they're gone. If it goes now, all that's left is their clothes. Earrings, glasses, false teeth. That's all that's left. Bro, we're gone. And in the movie, like he's driving his plane and they're going down giving out the tea. Next minute, the trumpet blasts, but they don't hear it, but the believers hear it. He's going down the aisle and there's kids missing, clothes left, women missing that were on the seats. No one knows what's happened. It's only happening on that plane. People were like, it might be alien abduction. It might be this, it might be that. And someone says, no. I've read this in the Bible. This is what they call the rapture. And this is happening all over. So the girl, the daughter's on the ground, the father's in the airplane, and she runs to the house to find her mother. Because she'd just been giving her mom the hardest time for being a believer, saying she was drinking the Kool-Aid, saying she was gone off her head believing in God, that there's no such thing as God. Why would God let this happen? And people will say this. Why would God let that tribulation happen? Where was God in that tribulation? They'll say this because people say it now. I tell you where God is. God is exactly where we leave him. That's where he is. In America, they were crying and there was an outcry when 9/11 happened. Why would God let this to America? The same America that put them out of their schools and out of their families and out of their constitution. That's where he is, exactly where we left him out here. If we ask him to come in, where is he? Right in it with us. God, where are you? Wherever you left me, son. She runs. The mama's gone, her clothes is on the thing. A little necklace that she bought. Her mama's on the chair and her clothes. Her little brother's gone. He was actually with her when they were going to the fair. And he was like, the boy is gone. She runs to the church because the pastor was
You know, you were giving out about the pastor. Who would give out about a pastor? You know what I mean? But you were giving out about the pastor. And she gets down into the church. There's clothes everywhere. Who's sitting up the front? The pastor. Left behind. Now I had sweat coming out of here. You know what I mean? He goes to her, what are you doing here? She goes, what are you doing here? You preached the word. You told us how to live for God. He says, I know, but I wasn't doing it myself. It was a job to me. I'm telling you, that will scare the living daylights out of you. And should, because this stuff is serious. I'm not playing games. I don't want to be someone that is left behind. Now, even in God's mercy, when people are left behind and this world has rejected them and tribulation comes, there's still a witness. How merciful and beautiful is our God. The Jewish people of believing, that believe, start to rise up to tell the world about the gospel of Jesus. There's two witnesses left. I'm telling you, if I was Steven Spielberg, I'd be making movies to beat the band about this stuff. It is incredible. There's two of them left, the opening of the sixth seal. There's two witnesses left. Some believe that they're Enoch and Elijah, because them two never faced death. They don't know, but that's what people believe. These two, come, read it yourself. This world hates them. Because they're saying in the midst of all this tribulation, there's an antichrist raised up, the man of lawlessness is raised up, there's a one world government, there's all this stuff going on. Tanya, isn't it amazing? They tried to kill them. Anyone that comes near them, the two witnesses, fire comes out of their mouth. The governments of the world comes against them. They say, son, stand still in the name of Jesus, stand still. Water in the rivers that we get all the water from in the world, they'd say, turn to blood and it will turn to blood. The world hates the two of them. Eventually, there's a time that they get killed. Two of them are killed. Beheaded. They're left on the ground. This world, it says, the kingdoms of the earth celebrated and did not take their bodies away, did not bury them. They left them there. The kingdoms of this world, it says, was given gifts to each other because the witness of God was gone. Where is God, what the world say to us? Where was God? Exactly where we left them. Anyway, 3.5 days later, the wind of God comes into the bodies, back to life again. And it says many turn to God as a result. Even in the tribulation, God is reaching out and reaching out and reaching out. Now, those who will give their lives to the Lord in the tribulation, it's not like, you know, coming to a church, put up your hand and go out and live the way you want. Not in them days. They'll either get beheaded for being a believer, or they'll starve to death because they're not taking the mark of the beast. That's the only way you'll get filled. There's no room for backsliding in the tribulation. There's no room for playing church in the tribulation. But the church that's being raptured, when he comes back to put an end to the enemy and to all the world's evil system, when he comes back, this is what it says, that we who are gone with him will come back. We who have gone to him will come back with him. I can't wait for that. I remember talking to a guy one time. He loved horses. And I says, about, you know, one day I'm telling you, brother, Darren McGuire was his name. Remember him, tour? And I says to him, he loved horses. And I said, I know how I'll reef him into to some understanding of the gospel. I says, Jesus is coming back on a white horse. Is he? And I says, Darren, this is my dilemma. I says, I don't know whether I want to be here when he comes back. Well, I really don't. Or am I going to come back with him? Or do you want to come back on the horse or looking up for the horse? And he says, no, I would want to be on the horse. He says, you're right, but you won't be on the horse unless you become a believer. Because it's the saints that come back with him. Coram Rapa brought him right in. But he comes back with us behind him. Saints. Put an end to it. But here's the thing. Are we ready? Listen to this. While on a South Pole expedition, British explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton left a few men on Elephant Island, promising that he would return. Later, when he tried to go back to get his men, huge icebergs blocked the way. But suddenly, as if by a miracle, an avenue opened up in the ice and Shackleton was able to get through with his boat.
His men were ready and waiting. Quickly they scrambled on board. No sooner had the ship cleared the island than the ice crashed together behind them. Contemplating their narrow escape, the explorer said to his men, "It was fortunate you were all packed and ready to go." They replied, "We weren't fortunate. We never gave up hope of your return. Whenever we seen the ice clear, we rolled up our sleeping bags and reminded ourselves, the boss may come today." Are you ready if the boss came today? Are you ready to meet him in the air? Are you ready to see him as he truly is, where he is fully known and you and I are fully known? Are you right with him this morning? Are you born of the Holy Spirit this morning? I'm not talking about do you go to church. I'm not talking about do you play Christian games. I'm not talking about that. But are you born again of the Spirit of God? Are you giving your life? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you received forgiveness of your sin that is available through the cross of Jesus? Have you done what he told you? Have you gone where he's told you to go? Have you said what he wanted you to say? Have you let go of what he asked you to let go of? Have you taken hold of the call of God that's on your life? Are you ready? I want to say this in some sort of jovial way, but inside me, this "are you ready" statement is more like, are you ready? That's the call I feel. Are you ready to forgive others? Have you held on to the wrongs of others while taking forgiveness for your wrongs? Are you ready? Have you put away childish things? Have you put away sinful things? Have you taken hold of the call of God on your life? Are you ready? Are you living for him? Are you living for you? Are you ready if he comes like a thief in the night? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Or are you going to be embarrassed? This is the day you put it right. I tell you how this will make us bulletproof. Living in readiness. In America, a number of years ago, there was kits out called the Rapture Kit. To get the American, you know, like it was to sell stuff. But there was a bit of a helmet in it just in case you were in the building. Not mad, innit? People bought it. Are you rapture ready? That's what it was called, rapture ready kits. But the seriousness of it, are you rapture ready? Living in readiness, here's the way it affects us. If he can come any moment without warning, do I want to be found gossiping about somebody? No. If he can come without warning, do I want to be holding on to things that I shouldn't be holding on to? No. If I'm rapture ready and I'm waiting, expecting Jesus to come any moment, do I want to be looking at pornography on a screen on a computer? No. Do I want to be somewhere doing something that I'm not supposed to be? No. This is what can make us absolutely bulletproof in some way, because we're living for him to come any moment when temptation comes, when discouragement comes, that we can say, look, I'm ready for Jesus. I'm waiting on Jesus. That's why you can see Paul in the scriptures saying, although we face affliction now, it's nothing compared. Because he was waiting, he was rapture ready for any moment for Jesus to come back. That's why he could say to the Hebrews, the writer of the Hebrews, Hebrews says, don't throw away your confidence. He who is coming will come and not delay. They were being murdered. They were being put to lions. Their flax was being wrapped around them and set on fire as believers. And Paul is saying, here's the hope. Here's what makes us bulletproof as believers. He can come at any moment. Don't throw away that confidence. Do not shrink back. He says, listen, you are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. You are of those who believe and are saved, who see the salvation. Why could he say that to somebody? Because they were rapture ready. Let's pray. Can you hear what God wants to do in your heart? He wants to fortify us. Get ready right now. Put something right that needs to be put right with God. He's there. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. I'm facing affliction now. His grace is sufficient. Don't leave him outside. Bring him inside. He will be exactly where you will leave him. Why was Jesus knocking at the door in Revelation? Why was he knocking at the door? Why was he knocking at the door? Because the church put him out. He was on the outside. He's knocking this morning. Come on. Hello. Don't leave me out there. I want to be in a witch. I want to sup with you, fellowship with you. I want to walk with you. I want to see you through this. Invite him in. He's a great guest. He's a better Lord. Lord, we stand before you as your people. Do you belong to his people? Are you right with God? Are you trusting in the cross that his sacrifice was sufficient for the forgiveness of your sin? So that when we go to meet him, he'd say, come on in. No, I don't know you. How do I get right with God? Ask him to forgive you. It's available there. He's already forgiven it. Tap into what he's already done for you. Lord, I acknowledge my sin. Forgive me. Come into my life. I give my life to you, Jesus. Everything that I am, I give to you. Will you give everything that you are to me? Because he does.